Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. Can you believe it's almost the end of August? So many of my friends are going to state fairs. For me, that's just too many people at this point. However, it's amazing to know people that are winners, that put their all into their garden this year and came up with the most beautiful, beautiful flowers, plants, cakes, pies, home-sewn items, and more. I've had friends that have entered animals into state fairs, friends that have entered canned goods into state fairs, like Mrs. Know-It-All. Of course, she has won many, many ribbons for all of her wonderful efforts, and she is a judge. And I wanted to ask her, what should we expect when we enter a state fair? Well, she told me that and more, and she even offered up a few recipes. Here's Mrs. Know-It-All. She's my go-to when it comes to all the things we really need to know about gardening, but didn't know who to ask. Hi, Mrs. Know-It-All. How are you?
Hey, Terry. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. I picked a zucchini from my garden today, and all I could think about was, is this fair worthy? What does it take to submit something to, not just something, a winning something to a state fair?
Oh, state fairs, county fairs, sometimes there's little municipal fairs. So I went to a fair several years ago, and I looked at some of this stuff, and it's like, I can do this, and I can do it better. So I started entering fairs. Now, because I was a grower, I was a professional, I do not enter anything floral or anything like that. Two of the fairs that I enter at are in rural areas. Mm-hmm. I can't compete with farmers. They've got acreage. I have a garden.
Right.
But I do enter some things. I enter a lot of baked goods. I enter some crafts. I enter canning items like my famous pickled beets. So three zinnias under 2 inches. I've had people that, and we keep tape measures. We do measure this stuff. Now, it depends on your fair judge, but we do this at our fair because we have a lot of entries and we've got to be fair to people.
Mm-hmm.
If they bring in four, they expect the judge to pick the best three, that's not our job. We will not judge it if it comes in with the wrong number of flowers in it. So you have to decide which ones are your three best. And I'm just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Some will, for herbs especially, I will see, it'll say three bunches of five stems. It doesn't mean five stems. It means three bunches of five stems. So it's really important to read the premium book. It's very specific on how you should enter.
Mm-hmm.
And so scarecrows are another one. So some fairs, not all, but some fairs differentiate between modern and traditional scarecrows. So with the modern ones, anything goes. I've seen it all, let me tell you. The traditional ones means no plastic, no electric, which I've seen. The best one I saw was one stuff that was burlap. It had the shirt on and everything. Now if it has plastic buttons, there's really not anything we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But his eyebrows were dried green onion stems. And he had chestnuts as his eyeballs.
Oh, wow.
and then the straw hat and everything else. He was beautiful. He won the best of show, actually, just because these people followed it. There was another one. It was the Queen of Hearts. And she was gorgeous, from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But they entered her in the wrong category. They entered her in the traditional. And I couldn't judge it because, and I had to write, and we typically, if there's something, you know, really good or not really bad, but incorrect about something, we'll leave a little note on the back of the tag, the entry tag, to let them know. We don't know who these people are, you know, especially because I go to another county and judge. I don't know these people. They live 50 miles away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So to get people to understand this, it's like, please read. People don't read. That's one of the biggest problems,
mm-hmm.
is they don't read. Now, when you're entering baked goods, you know, that sort of becomes a competition among friends. I've done that with friends too. It's like, you know, there are some things that I know I can't make. I can't make biscuits worth anything. It's just not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will tell you that the very first pie that I ever entered in a fair was a chocolate bourbon pecan pie.
Mm.
I won best of show. I was like, oh my God, look at what this. And I got a nice big ribbon. You know, you get the little ribbons, you get the big rosettes with the best of show. And then they take your picture and they put it in the paper and everything. And I'm like, I've got this. You know. So I enter a contest. It's now called the chocolate cake contest, homemade chocolate cake contest. It used to be the Hershey's chocolate cake contest. They would sponsor it. They also sponsor one for youth. And let me make a note. There's a difference between youth and 4-H. You have to belong to a 4-H club. But youth, which is typically under 19,
mm-hmm.
you can enter in anything. So just if somebody's wondering about that, there is that difference.
Mm-hmm.
Most fairs either have extension people or they might have some professional bakers. And the one fair that I would enter to be judged was actually the executive pastry chef from our culinary institute. And we eventually got to be friends. He actually did some classes for me. But he told me that a judge can tell the difference between a boxed cake and a scratch cake. It has something to do with the cells. When you cut a cake open, mm-hmm. you see all the pockets of air, that it's different. And that's how they're able to tell. And a lot of the fairs, you know, they'll give you so many points for decoration. They'll give you so many points for taste, presentation, you know, those type of things, you know, mm-hmm. they tell you. So in Pennsylvania, you know, you get like $25 at the local fair. You get to compete at the state level for $500 for first place.
Wow.
Pennsylvania has 67 counties and more than one fair in some of these counties. So you're competing against about 75 people
yeah.
to get there. And you have to drive to Harrisburg in a blizzard usually. I've done it. I've been there a few times. So those are some of the things that they look at. Now, canning, you know, preserved, dried, there are rules that some fairs require that you remove the rings to present it. Other fairs want you to keep the rings on. I prefer to keep the rings on, at least for transportation. Just mm-hmm. in case something comes loose, get knocked over, you know, that I don't have pickled beets all over my car.
Right.
So that's something you can require. Now, there is something called the Ball Blue Book of Preserving.
Mm-hmm.
It is the one that the fairs recommend that you use, not so much the recipes, but like the times you use to can something, the space in between the lid and the food product itself, because it does vary from each one.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want people who, I know people who say, oh, when I can, I just turn the jar upside down in the oven and that makes it seal. No, that's a good way to get botulism, among other things. Botulism is no fun. We once had somebody that gave us a jar of peppers that were in oil, which is also a big no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And we
wait, why? Why?
Because it creates the perfect storm for botulism. Because there's no air in there, it's oil, so it's taken out all the so any type of bacteria can multiply in there. So we opened it up and it came out like a volcano. We're like, okay, everything including the jar went right in the garbage.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I tell people when they're canning, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness when in the kitchen when you're canning. That's one thing you've got to be really, you know, clear about.
Yeah.
But you have to know what you do well. So, like I said, I can't make biscuits, but I can make good chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes vary a recipe as far as ingredients. So I do a sinful chocolate zucchini bread that's getting entered in the fair this year. Mm-hmm. It is deadly chocolate. Our friend Martha Swiss actually gave me the recipe for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I can, you know, do that. It qualifies under zucchini bread.
So you even though it's chocolate?
Yes, because there's zucchini in it. There's 2 cups of zucchini in it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so you can do that. There are contests for spam. I'm sorry, that just can't cross my lips. But there's just something about it. I'm sorry. A friend of mine, her husband was in Vietnam, and so that was kind of a staple. She said, a big old slice of onion will kill anything. That's what she used when they'd have spam sandwiches.
I've had spam since I was a kid.
Yeah, that was never something in my household. My dad, who would eat anything, would not eat it.
Oh.
So there are contests. Land O'Lakes in some fairs sponsors competitions using butter, their butter in, whether it's a cookie or a cake or whatever. They sponsor some competitions. Some egg companies will sponsor something. You know, there's also like not a chiffon, an angel food cake,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, God bless you if you can do it in the summer in humidity, because angel food does not like humidity trying to
bake. Right, right.
You know, but there's all kinds of specialty contests. Oh, there's the blue ribbon apple pie contest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can vary, you know, you can have an apple walnut pie, you can have an apple peach pie. You know, people get creative. You know, some use a cheddar cheese crust. You know, they'll put cheddar cheese in it. Mm-hmm. Some will do blue cheese with apples. And there's like pears. There's so many categories. In fact, here, I have my fair entry right here. So let me give you some ideas of things that you can enter. And then there's jellies and jams and butters and preserves and conserves. How's that? That's a whole other thing. So I've actually done a Cabernet Sauvignon wine jelly, which I actually hated to enter it because it was beautiful. It was just beautiful. And I couldn't find it. And I'm like, where's my jelly? I can't find it. And then I found it over in the Best of Show. I'm like, oh my God, I won.
Oh, wow.
You know, so actually so for jellies this year, there's apple, blackberry, cherry, crab apple, currant, elderberry, fruit, gooseberry, grape, huckleberry, mint, peach, plum, quince, black raspberry, red raspberry, strawberry, and other. I'm entering other because I know that I can win, and I'm not. In fact, I couldn't even get any strawberries this year. There's marmalades. And let me tell you, for people, because depending on your judge,
mm-hmm.
so the difference between preserves and jam. Mm-hmm. is the size of the fruit. That's the only difference.
Wow.
So preserves, if you're entering vegetables and it says 5 cucumbers, for instance, you want them to be the same size. You don't want a real long one and a little one and in between. You want them to be consistent in size.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, you know, the judges, depending on the vegetable or the fruit,
mm-hmm.
carry a knife and will sample it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been known to sample some tomatoes, some cantaloupe. I pass on the hot peppers. I'm not feeling that brave, you know, but we look for peppers, for instance. Jalapenos are a good example. You'll see this like scarring on them. That means they were on the vine too long, on the plant too long. That means they're older. So you want one that's blemish free when you enter anything. Potatoes, it will tell you brush off the dirt, don't wash them. Somebody washes them, they get disqualified. You know, so there's little things like that. Flowers, and some of them have like potted plants that are part of the arrangement, and it's got dead leaves on it. Mm. Once it crosses that desk and it has leaves, it automatically gets downgraded. You know, we are not looking for it. And I'll sit there and because I try to be nice to the kids, especially the new ones, it's like the judge does not want to see any yellow leaves. They'll pick up. Sometimes they get a plant that's totally denuded.
But at least they're trying, you know?
They're trying.
Yeah.
And it's funny that they do that now. A lot of them will, like I said, you know, it asks for three zinnias in, you know, under 2 inches. When they bring them in, we want to see them in a glass jar, an old pickle jar, you know, because there is somebody that comes around and waters during the length of the fair. Because some fairs are like 9 days long.
Yeah.
So, you know, you try to keep stuff alive for people. Now, cut flowers, that can be problematic. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things. Putting it in plastic is a big no-no. So we try to even, like, keep a couple of extra old jars or something for the, you know, it's like, here, you got to go get water, but it'll go in this. I have had them bring in ones that have ribbons on them and, you know, have the little gingham cloth and everything. Or a really fancy vase. Mm-hmm. I don't look at that. And frankly, you know, if that's grandma's vase, she should have left it at grandma's.
Yeah.
We do not look at that. We are looking at the quality of your entry. We are not looking for any accoutrements that came with it. Now, if you are entering a specific flower arrangement, we will look at the container.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that is part of the flower arrangement. The same with vegetables. You know, they get put on paper plates. You know, we don't need anything fancy. The one difference is there's something called the market basket. And that's usually anywhere between 5 to 10 vegetables arranged neatly in a basket. And I've seen some gorgeous ones. You know, we take pictures of them. That's how beautiful they are. You know, they're like prime fruit and nuts and vegetables and everything in there. That's when we want a little decoration. And it's usually just a really nice napkin or a pretty basket in there. Mm-hmm. And here again, we still look at, you know, if there's corn in there, we open up the corn to make sure the corn's filled out all the way. There's no little worms crawling around or anything like that. Those are some of the things that judges look at.
Are all these tips in the premium book? And how can people get a premium book?
Well, whoever runs your fair, so Prince George's, maybe your extension office runs it,
mm-hmm.
You can ask them where you can get the book to enter the fair. A lot of the fairs, I'm not sure when your fair is, the fair I entered had its cutoff date last week. So some of them, you may have already missed it,
mm-hmm.
because it takes some time to get your tags ready.
Okay.
And print it out. It's something, you know, that you can get from them. And read the directions. It's not hard. I realize people don't read and they just think they can get away with stuff. But the judges, you know, we try to keep everybody honest and we try to be fair to everybody. And I'll tell you a story. One of my 4-H kids, Amanda McMillan, she was homeschooled. Her parents were missionaries. She was raised in Africa for a while and then came to the States when she was about 12 and she was in 4-H. And this child did everything perfectly. I can't tell you, like, she has books of blue ribbons.
Wow.
She was that good. But there's something called the outdoor exhibit book in 4-H, at least in our 4-H. You do a design on graph paper of your garden, and you mark, like, what you have planted, whether it's flowers or vegetables, and your results in there, and, you know, maybe a picture or two. She brought in this elaborate, you know, she had pictures, she had this drawing, she had all kinds of stuff, but she didn't follow the directions in the book. Now, I was able to give her a first place, but I couldn't get her to qualify for the best of show. And the other person that had it did it correctly, did what was in the book. So I saw Amanda and her mother after the fair, and I said, Amanda, you know, I'm sorry. I said, it would have been perfect for the best of show, I said, but you didn't follow the directions. And she was okay with that. And that was in the end of August. February, I get a letter from her. The fair office had given her my address. She had taken her book, completely redid it, entered it in the state fair, Pennsylvania state fair, and won best of show there.
Wow.
She is now working on her doctorate at UCLA on sociology and agriculture. Uh-huh. She got married, and I actually keep in contact with her like every couple of years. And she said, I got married. I made my own flower bouquet. It was great.
So, but see, that's meaningful because a lot of people don't understand the value of 4-H or even state, county, or municipal fairs. And they can actually be a stepping stone to something else.
Yeah. And something else people don't realize, because you don't have to have a farm to be in 4-H. A lot of people think, oh, you got to live out the country and everything. They have entomology. They have engineering. They have moral. I mean, you don't have to have a farm to, you know, grow some flowers, especially right. something like zinnias or marigolds. And, right. you know, kids can do that. But the other thing is, there's scholarships. You know, in this day and age, you know, if you can get a scholarship, I don't care if it's for $500, it'll pay mm-hmm. for a couple of books at least.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have the scholarships. And there's also something called FFA. And they typically enter the fair. I see them from Dairy PA. They enter the fair that I judge at. And I can always tell because these kids come in with these fabulous floral designs. It, you know, and now they're teenagers. They are not first year kids. These are teenagers. Mm-hmm. And it's great. So they could literally go out and get a job as a florist, work in a floral shop, or start their own floral business. But 4-H and FFA offer college scholarships.
Explain what FFA is.
Future Farmers of America.
That's right. Yeah.
And but like I said, you know, you don't have to live on a farm to do this. You know, so, you know, it's great for kids to get involved with them. Some of it, some 4-H, they just do like food posters, you know, mm-hmm. to learn about nutrition. Mm-hmm. There are some granges, not many like there used to be. They're kind of a society, you know, but they enter fairs and they have their, in fact, some of them have grange fairs mm-hmm. that are very similar to county fairs. But they, you know, teach people, you know, different things, whether it's about, you know, raising a pig, mm-hmm. which I know all of us want to learn how to do, you know, to growing good zucchini.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something for, you know, people to think about. And it, you don't really need to be an educator. You know, a mom in a group, you know, can say, okay, let's have a 4-H, you know, and you can get the materials from your extension office. And you meet maybe once a month and, you know, okay, let's grow some beans this year, you know, or this month, you know, and teach kids about that. That's all it really is. It's a commitment of time, but it's no different than baseball, soccer, football, well, highlight, mm-hmm. name it, hockey, you know, and 9 times out of 10, your kids aren't going to get a scholarship playing hockey.
Right.
There's the few that, you know, can get that stuff. They have a much better chance of getting one out of FFA or 4-H.
And it's an overlooked, in my opinion, those two entities are overlooked ways of moving forward with your future. Mm-hmm. Like you said, scholarships, grants, whatever, that connectivity. It doesn't mean that they stay in agriculture, but it might be a stepping stone and then they just might stay in agriculture. Yeah. So
But they learn. And yeah. that's really the purpose of 4-H, to learn. Mm-hmm. Now, I know people kind of go, every kid in 4-H gets a participation ribbon, you know, because they actually took the time. And I know people go, oh, they get a ribbon for everything. But for kids, that's kind of important. Like, you know, I got this ribbon. We're not giving them a blue ribbon. Sometimes they get a blue ribbon. Sometimes it's fifth place. You know, mm-hmm. usually they go from first to fifth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but it's to reward them for participating is what right. it is.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, sometimes, you know, they're on a team or something and they sit on the bench for the right. entire game and somebody's like, yeah, well, okay, that's fine. That's where you belong. So mm-hmm. this is, you know, just to encourage them a little bit.
Yeah. And we need to encourage our youth to participate in life. because it's their future.
Kids don't know where their food comes from.
Right.
Or flowers. You know, they think it comes from the grocery store. And you can buy flowers in the grocery store, you know. So, you know, this is why. And the one category with the kids that I do is, depending on their age, they have to bring anywhere from 5 to 7 flowers to 15 flowers just in a vase. And I make them name them, just everyone, whether they get the name right or not. And sometimes they don't remember, but just so they learn every year. And for the parents that think that they can get away with buying an entry, I've seen it. They brought these gorgeous window boxes that they claimed an 8-year-old did. I'm like, no. And not only that, I had seen those window boxes at a greenhouse. And I guess they don't think I go to greenhouses.
But it's a great, a healthy way of getting children excited about being engaging in nature and to play outside.
Yeah, I try to give them constructive criticism. I'm not saying, you know, God, is this awful? You know, what were you thinking of? No, I try to say, you know, next year, maybe you could do this or that, you know. So, and only that, if the parents actually work with them, that's even better. So they get to spend some time with their kids instead of watching TV, being on their tablet, you know, whatever.
That's the one difference. I was active with 4-H when I lived in Virginia. And I miss that, because it's nothing like seeing children excited about a zucchini or a marigold bloom. It's
Speaking
amazing.
Of zucchini, some fairs for the young kids, and I'm talking like 5-year-olds, that age range. So you can actually decorate a zucchini to make it look like a dinosaur or a pig, you know, depending on the vegetable. But they have, you know, a category for, you know, decorated vegetables. And it's specifically for little kids, just to kind of get them excited, you know. And I've seen some really cute ones, you know, but the dinosaur was really good. And zucchini does happen to be one of the prime vegetables the kids use.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, I hope that we have inspired people to at least think about visiting a fair, and then next year maybe consider entering something in a fair.
Like I said, I went and I'm like, I can do this.
Yeah. But I think sometimes we overlook the simple things in life, like going to a fair. It's those simple things in life that we probably should get back to. Because there's something that will provide a memory, and a good one at that. Thank you for sharing these tips about the fair.
I was going to say, if anybody wants my recipe for the sinful chocolate zucchini bread, you know, they can email you and send it on to me, and I'll send them the recipe.
All right.
Oh, my God, is it good?
You're entering it in the fair, right?
Yeah. I'm entering in a local fair. I share my recipes. I'm not afraid, you know, somebody's going to beat me at your oven temperatures. It's how you measure your ingredients. It's the quality of your ingredients. You know, did you bake it too long? Did you bake it long enough? So there's all those variables. I have no problems giving out my recipes. Same with my chocolate cake. You know, if you can make it, you know, and it is deadly dark chocolate. If you like milk chocolate, keep moving. But if you like dark chocolate,
it's a winner, huh?
Oh, and you know what? Here's the best part. It's a one bowl scratch cake. You don't even need a mixer. You use a wooden spoon.
That's why we love you, Denise. You just keep it simple. Really, you keep it simple and you keep it real. You do. Thank you so much. And I know there are going to be some people that are going to want that recipe.
Well, I hope you learned a little something about how to enter an item, whether it's something you grew or something you created, into your local fair. There are some fairs still happening from now until about the end of September. Go online, find a fair, attend a fair, and maybe you too, whether you're a seasoned gardener or a newbie, will be inspired to enter something into next year's fair. It's been a bit of a dry summer. For some odd reason, those rain clouds have jumped over District Heights and went everywhere else. My garden is still thriving. 17 years, no hose, and I am one happy gardener, let me tell you. I read this poem that made me think, yeah, this is where I am with gardening. The name of this poem is called The Source by Isla Paschal Richardson. No rain for weeks, a burning sun, scorched grass, and dust, and yet a clump of zinnias still, unfolding brilliant colors from their dry, brown stalks, their sustenance a mystery. And then one morn, when early dawn outlines black velvet shadows with a touch of gray, I looked into the garden. Sparkling dew, like trembling diamonds, clung to every leaf and withered stem. The zinnias stood with heads uplifted, drinking in the cool night air and dew. In vibrant silence, storing strength to meet the day. I thought of one upon a lonely mountaintop, retreating for a few brief hours from men, soul-hungry throngs that he must feed. And he continued, there alone, alone with God, all night in prayer. That really touched my heart when I read that. You know, my zinnias have been my go-to color all year. From the hot pink to the lime green, with no water, no fertilizer, they just brought me joy every single day. I encourage you to find some zinnia seeds and hold on to them for next year. I guarantee they will bring joy to you each and every day. And don't forget to cut them and bring them inside. I want to say thank you for your patience. I've not been regular this summer. I've been in the throes of writing not one but two books, but I appreciate you hanging in there with me. The first book is available for pre-order on Amazon. The name of the book, The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. My co-author, Kathy Gents, well, let's just say we came up with some ideas that I know will incite, inspire, and encourage you to garden. No matter how big or small your space is, you can do this. In the meantime, I ask that you continue to follow me. My website, cottageinthecourt.com, Instagram and Twitter, Cottage in Court, Facebook, Cottage in the Court, and every once in a while, I'm inspired to write on Medium. Enjoy.